This is episode 189 on December 8th, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, Matt. It's good to have you back. How are you doing, man?
Good. Was I gone?
Yeah, just for a week. Wait.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just for a week.
Oh,
yeah.
That's not so bad.
What you been up to, man?
All right, we talked before the show.
Woohoo!
I told you that I did nothing.
Uh-huh.
And once again, that's a lie. I apparently have the memory of, oh my goodness, things are falling on my desk. I apparently have like the memory of a goldfish because I totally forgot that I took like a whole bunch of waterfall pictures this past weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was fun. Yeah, it was, I don't know, one of the days over the weekend, my son was driving me crazy. So I was like, all right, you need to get out of the house. You want to go see waterfalls? And he was like, yeah. So we loaded ourselves into the car and I grabbed my camera gear. And we went to this like pretty cool place, like maybe about a half hour from where I live. And went to this like waterfall, and he had a great time just throwing rocks and sticks and all that kind of stuff. And I got to play with all my apps. I brought my Sony camera, and I didn't even shoot it. You know what I did with it? I took the polarizing lens off of it to use in front of my iPhone lens.
Ah, nice.
But I, excuse me, I got a bunch of great pictures, and so that was pretty fun. And truthfully, besides that, I pretty much didn't do much of anything exciting.
Yeah, that's okay. Waterfalls are fun, I guess. I hardly ever go to a waterfall, or if I do, it's like dead of summer and it hadn't rained in forever, and so there's like nothing coming down the waterfall.
Yeah, you should really remedy that situation.
Yeah. Well, we finally got some rain this week, and which was good in a way and also bad in a way, because rain usually means that I'm more busy at work than normal. So, but yeah, but we needed it. Well,
I would say so.
Yeah. Well, I had, you know, I had taken some photos, and it's mainly, you know, for family and everything. We finally got our tree up this week and got it decorated, and the kids are just like mesmerized by the tree. And so we turned off the lights in the living room. It was in the evening, and I took some pictures. I'll post a few in the Facebook group and on Instagram. But I love the look of the Christmas tree with the lights and being able to edit it and make it sort of dramatic or interesting is a lot of fun. So I'll have some of those pictures up. But yeah, so yeah, it was this week. I'm almost at the point where I feel comfortable whipping out my iPhone while I'm working, because there are sometimes I just have these, you know, views that I can take pictures from, you know, from an elevation, because now I'm, you know, usually working about 14 feet above the ground, and it's a different, you know, view than being on the ground or laying on the ground. So, I'm, you know, once I get past this, training period, then I'll be able to take more pictures. But I'm looking at, and not specifically just about telephone lines, but, you know, just, you know, being able to be up in a elevated, area and be, and, you know, just get the landscape and, or, you know, or whatever I feel like shooting. So I'll get there one day. It'll be here soon.
We're all waiting with bated breath.
Yeah, I bet you are. So, but yeah, so that's what I've been up to. So, yeah, this week we're going to talk about a few things. We mentioned a thing that we're going to put together, and we started it this week. So, but let's go ahead and we're going to jump into some news.
News team, assemble!
All right. We're going to start off. 9to5 Mac had an article, and they said Apple's iPhone continues to top Flickr's most popular camera list in 2015. And this is no news. Like this, it's news, but it's not really news because this has been something that has been going on for years. It's a very popular capturing device, and so for it to have, to be at the top of the list on Flickr is not surprising. It will be surprising one day if another device does take that spot. But here's what the article said. Flickr today released the list of most popular cameras and brands used for photo shares on their site this year. And it's no surprise that Apple's iPhone continues to top the list. The iPhone 6 alone tops the list of most popular cameras on Flickr in 2015, accounting for 5% of all photographs on the photo share site this year. Various models of the iPhone from 2015 and earlier still in use take 8 out of the 20 slots on the top camera list for the year. And it says Apple branded cameras make up 18% of the ones used on the service this year. And they rank the popularity. The iPhone 6 was 5%. The 5S was 4.9%. 5 was 4%. And the 4S and so forth. And they said that the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus did not register in the top 20 list, which ends and then ended with the D3100 with the 1%. I don't know when the 6S and the 6S Plus came out. So, it could be that it could have been like at the end of the year and they just really hadn't been in use that long to make the top of the list. So what are your thoughts, Matt, on this?
This is an article from...
you're right.
Yeah, from... You know what's funny, though? You're not the only person to report on this. I actually listened to another podcast just recently that talked about this as well. But this is a list from 2015.
Why did
so it would, make sense that the 6S and 6S Plus aren't on it. I would imagine if we had an updated list, they would be. But nevertheless, it's still, it's just like, it's all this does is illustrate the adage that the best camera is the one you have on you. Right.
Sure,
and sure. I think it also illustrates that there's more people that want to take pictures with an iPhone than they do like other types of smartphones.
Yeah.
So when you have out of the top 10 of all the cameras that are posting pictures to Flickr, 7 of them are iPhones. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Man, I'm glad you caught that and not somebody else. Yeah. That's funny because I kind of look through the news and I aggregate it, and for it to pop up a year later and be at the top of the aggregation is kind of odd. So I wonder why that, you know, I didn't even think of looking at the date, but yeah, so, wow. Well, there's some old news for you. the other thing that, came out was, Apple, had released a blog post or a news article or something like that. It says pro photo tips using the portrait mode on the iPhone 7 Plus. And they used a couple examples from some photographers. In the short time, portrait mode has become a favorite feature for the iPhone 7 Plus users, with people capturing a range of subjects with a stunning depth of field effect. Stunning is a little, I think, hyperbolic, would you say?
Well, it depends who you are. If you're a photographer, then sure. It's, that's a lot of sensationalism. But if you're just an average person that's been taking pictures, you know, with a point and shoot camera or a cell phone for however many years, and you're just used to having depth of field through the whole image, then yeah, I would say this is sensational.
Yeah. Now, this article does link to the 2016, Flickr blog, and it says smartphones dominate Flickr uploads in 2016. So, Apple taking 47%, Canon 24%, and Nikon 18%. So, we'll have to... I'll have a link to that in the show notes so you can look at it. But this Apple article does say the iPhone is the most popular camera in the world, as they would always say because they are Apple. And the popularity increased among photographers in 2016, according to Flickr. So they had a couple that were images like they had a fashion photographer. Let's see here. Did it say what his name was? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Gershon said he used the portrait mode on the iPhone 7. It says is important for storytelling as a whole. The nice thing is, you know, it says that, you know, he used the iPhone 7 Plus. Let's see here. Another image by Jeremy Cowart. Is that how you say his last name? Cowart? I know. Sure. He's a very popular photographer. He captured an image of a young boy. It's a great image. It's in black and white. But he used the iPhone 7 Plus, and he edited it using VSCOcam. It's pretty telling that, you know, it seemed like, what, 4 or 5 years ago, the iPhone was more of a novelty where... Oh yeah, I took this picture with the iPhone. When the iPhone 4 came around, all of a sudden it started to become more of a novelty, and people were saying, "Hey, look what I can do with this." Come around to 2016, and you know, we're getting stories of photo shoots or magazine covers. Images that are being produced by people, you know, I could say popular photographers, but if you look at our Facebook group and see the amazing work that is coming through with our listeners, I don't have to tell our listeners that, oh yeah, you know, there's some popular photographers who are doing great things with the iPhone, because our listeners are doing some amazing stuff. And it's really fun to be on the cutting edge of sort of a movement where we recognized very early on that the iPhone was a great tool for creating, you know, art, for capturing images, for getting, you know, just using it for daily life. And, you know, it's kind of fun to, you know, look behind and see these, oh yeah, yeah, we like the iPhone. It's starting to become a very good tool. It's a very good device for capturing images. And we're like, yeah, welcome. We've been like 5 years ahead of you. What are your thoughts, Matt?
Excuse me. All right, so I think portrait mode is cool, definitely. But this article to me is just very silly. Mostly because if you really read like the quote-unquote tips and kind of think about what it's saying, this is more or less the gist of it. If you can find the perfect subject with the perfect uncluttered background in the perfect lighting and shoot it from the perfect distance, portrait mode is going to be awesome for you. That is essentially what this article says.
Oh, perfect.
Just do all that. It's as simple as that, and you'll get great results with portrait mode.
Your images can look like mine. Yeah. Well,
while you were talking about that, I did a little bit of digging on the top cameras on Flickr for this year.
Yeah.
So it turns out it's like an even more impressive list than last year. If you don't mind me going back to
this for a second.
So this year for 2016, the iPhone held 8 spots out of the top 10. So the list going from 1 to 10 reads like this: the iPhone 6, the 5S, the 6S, the 5, the 6 Plus, the 4S, the 6S Plus. And then a number 8 spot is the Canon 5D Mark III.
Yeah.
Which actually to me is kind of surprising. And then number 9 is the Apple iPhone 5C, which is also kind of surprising to me. Yeah. I didn't know that many people had that phone.
And
then to round out the top 10 is the Canon 5D Mark II.
Wow.
I just would have thought the Mark II and Mark III would be flip-flopped in there. I thought the Mark II would still be more popular, but I guess a lot of people upgraded.
Sure.
So in any case, that's very impressive, I think.
Yeah, it is very impressive. I don't think I can embellish or say anything that would remotely sound intelligent, you know, other than what we've already said. Yeah, no, that's cool. I am very thankful that I do, you know, have this device, you know, and we're not here saying that the iPhone is, you know, the be all end all of, you know, mobile photography, but, you know, the numbers don't lie when it comes to what people are posting on Flickr and, you know, what people are doing with their, with the images that they're creating. You know, I think this next week we're going to talk about Pixel, because I saw there was a video, somebody was comparing the Pixel to the iPhone 7, and so I really want to dig into that. I didn't have enough time today to do it, but I think this next week, the next episode, we'll kind of dive into that. And it looks like it's, you know, Pixel is being set up to be a challenger, and, you know, rightfully so. I don't see why the iPhone should stand alone, you know, and I you know, if there was no competition, if there wasn't anything for Apple to go up against, you know, we probably wouldn't have a whole lot of the innovation or, interesting things that they do, because, you know, competition breeds creativity and trying to be better than the other. So I think, I think we're going to have some, good things come out. What was the name of that one camera that had the dual lens first?
I forget. I know what you're talking about.
Huawei.
Don't remember.
Yeah, it was a Huawei phone. Sometimes you have to have competition come out with something first and, really push the iPhone. Not to say that they're a Johnny come lately, but, just the competition for Apple is good because it keeps them on their toes.
Yes. Yes, it does. The Huawei phone you're thinking of is called the P9.
That's right. The P9.
Isn't the internet awesome?
Yes.
Thank you, internet.
Well, sometimes it's awesome, but, when it works, it's awesome.
When it gives you results for the correct year, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. All right. I think I would really like to somehow get my hands on a Pixel and try it out. I'm not going to pay $700 to do that, but I want to see what it's like. And I've used other people's Android phones to capture images, and my muscle memory and the things that I like, it's hard for me to say, I like that a lot better, I want to go ahead and switch. I think I've got the muscle memory down, and the look and the feel of my device is, comforting, I guess. There can always be something. I know Mark is always threatened that if something better came out, he'd go for it, but so far that hasn't happened.
Yep, I have no... I'm not looking, so yeah. It's all good.
All right, let's go ahead and move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. Last episode, this last week, I gave you guys a challenge. Not quite a challenge, but on Facebook I posted that we are crowdsourcing iPhonography gifts. Actually, it'd be more like smartphone gifts, because you can use it for Android, you can use it for iPhone, you may be able to use it for Windows, maybe.
And when you say crowdsourcing, you mean everybody should send us these things, right?
Oh, absolutely. We have to approve of what we're going to post on our website after we've tested it out indefinitely. No, we kid. I'm not saying don't send us anything. I mean, I'm all for trying stuff out. I just, I don't want to be greedy, but, so I thought it'd be fun to kind of peruse through the list of what we have so far. Kind of talk about some of the stuff, but then also, continue guys to post things, and if there's something that you like, oh, they didn't mention that, you, by all means, go on to Facebook and add it to the list. So Bill Counts had posted Basic to Basics, an iTunes gift card. That's always a good thing. I hate to look and actually, if they had an option, I don't know if I'd want to look to see how much I've already paid iTunes since I've had the account.
Yeah, that would not be a good number to see.
Yeah. So, you know, gift cards are good. I know when I first started in iPhone photography and using iTunes, it was really hard for me to hit that buy button. It's just my whole thing ever since I first had a cell phone was, it was 1999. I had a StarTAC and it was great. You know, ringtones were free. Wallpaper was free. Not that the StarTAC could use that, but you know, it was fun and people were getting creative. And then the company started to get a little smart. Oh, let's charge people. And so stuff that I thought was, you know, kind of, you know, fun to do, wasn't great quality. You know, I wasn't going to pay a dollar for that. And I'd go without. And then comes, you know, the iPhone and jumping into that old ecosystem. And I had to change my mind because there were some awesome apps and stuff that was being put out that's not cheap to make. And so I started buying. And you know what? It was like, hey, I can do this. I didn't feel like I was having to pay AT&T or Verizon or Sprint, you know, the money. This was, you know, money that was going back to the creators. And so, you know, if you're still on the fence of, you know, kind of spending money in the iTunes store, you're missing out on some pretty awesome apps. But a gift card is a good thing to be able to give people for Christmas. By all means, Matt, interrupt me if you want to as I go through this list. We had, good quality tripods. You know, if you have a tripod that you use and you think is cool, tell us the name. It's hard to look at a thumbnail of a tripod and say, oh, yeah, that's a quality tripod right there. Matt, you said you use, are you pretty particular about your tripods, or is it the ball heads that you're, you know, most particular about?
All right. Well, let's dive into this a little bit since there was kind of a lot of suggestions that fall into this category. As far as tripods go, the GorillaPod was mentioned a handful of times.
Yep.
And there's kind of a bunch of different GorillaPods. So it kind of depends to me, like, on which one, you know, you're looking at. There was a gentleman that mentioned that he was hoping to get one that had magnetic feet.
Yeah.
And I forget what that one's called. But it definitely looks like it's probably adequate. I have a GorillaPod. It's called the SLR Zoom.
Okay.
So it's like a little bit beefier of a GorillaPod. And they also make a ball head that you could screw onto that. And for the longest time, I didn't have the ball head. I would just take the, the little iPhone holder and screw that just right onto like the top of the tripod, but then you're like wrestling with it to try to get it level.
Yeah.
You know, just constantly adjusting and readjusting the legs, and it's really a pain in the butt. So having the ball head makes that significantly easier. And I forget what the ball head costs. It's not real expensive. It's like $20 or $30.
Yeah, B&H has it for like almost 30.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty nice. So GorillaPod's great. And then the nice thing about a GorillaPod, if anyone doesn't really know what that is, it's the legs themselves just have all these like little articulating segments. So you can like wrap the legs around like a handrail or a tree branch, or just get real creative with how you position the legs. So you can get, you know, more creative with where you put it, you know, to get pictures from different vantage points that you ordinarily wouldn't be able to get. So it's pretty cool. To me, the downside of a GorillaPod though is that it's small. So like, if you don't have something to, you know, wrap the legs around, that's like, you know, up high or whatever, if you're trying to go for, you know, a vantage point or a composition that's not low to the ground, a GorillaPod's not always the best option. So there's, you know, tripods out there that are like travel tripods, and there's like a whole ton of them on the market now, that you could find. I have a brand that I have no idea how to pronounce. It's spelled S-I-R-U-I. And I don't even know like where they're from, like Korea or something like that. But they just make these nice little aluminum tripods that, they have a center column and the legs like fold upward along the center column. So it, yeah, the whole tripod's like really nice and compact when it's all folded up. And I was just realized Fred Zelders had posted an idea for a smartphone holder or adapter for tripods, and it's from a company called MiPhoto. And it just occurred to me that MiPhoto makes these same kind of tripods that I'm talking about right now. So I was actually just on their website looking at them, and they're like literally the same thing. Just these nice little aluminum tripods that have five segment legs, and they just use like a little twist lock mechanism to extend the legs out, and they come with a ball head. And I can't speak for the MiPhoto brand per se, but like the one I have, it is awesome. It's rock solid. The ball head is like super duper nice. I totally love it. And the tripod mount, like the little phone adapter that he posted a link to, that thing is just cool. And the thing I really like about it is that the bottom of it is like the plate that goes into the ball head.
Yeah.
It's what's called an Arca Swiss style plate. And many tripod heads out there use this type of plate, like for the bottom of the camera. So the reason I like this one is that with like my other phone holder for the tripod, I have to like get like another plate or remember to unscrew the plate from the bottom of my camera and then screw it into, you know, the phone holder and go back and forth. And I really don't like that like at all. So having like a dedicated smartphone one is just really awesome to me.
Yeah.
And I actually sent a link to this to my wife and said, hey, here's an idea.
Yeah. No, I have no, you know, clue at, you know, some of the stuff that's out there. And, you know, sometimes I look at the ticket price on them and I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. I might have to skip that, but I definitely like the Joby ball head. I can definitely afford that and add it to my tripod. But what were you going to say?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just want to say one more thing about tripods too. I don't want everyone to think that you need to have a tripod. It's literally just, you know, it's nice to have if you want to use like slow shutter cam or one of the apps that combines like a zillion pictures to make a nicer picture, like Nightcap Pro or something like that. Yeah, it's not an essential piece of gear. It just makes certain types of photography a lot more feasible to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't, it's sometimes like, it doesn't have to be super expensive or elaborate. I have the Joby GorillaPod. I have a telescopic one that is like the Vivitar. You know, you might see it in Walmart. It was very old. I think it belonged to my great grandfather. And then there's another tripod that I had that that came with a monopod. So you can get them. The iPhones are so light that it doesn't have to be, you know, a super heavy one. You can actually buy a light one. And then most of them will have a hook that you can add weights to in case you wanted to keep it more steady. But, you know, you don't have to get too crazy. I mean, you can spend a lot of money on a tripod, but there are good alternatives to buying the most expensive. Like if you buy a decently priced tripod and add the ball heads to the tripods, it's a world of difference when it comes to doing your photography. You're not having to adjust the legs in order to level or get the angle that you want. So, and we'll have links to different types in the show notes.
Yeah. All right. So there was definitely a lot of other, you know, great ideas like accessory lenses. Those are always, you know, pretty popular things. There is a gentleman, Ted Strang, who actually just joined our group this week. So welcome, Ted. He had a lot of really great ideas. One of the ones that I really liked was a portable power pack, like a battery pack.
Yeah.
And you know, that could be really nice if you're hiking or backpacking or camping or just generally somewhere where you don't have, you know, access to power. That's definitely really nice to have. Nobody mentioned battery cases, like a
Mophie or...
Thank you, Mophie, yeah. Yes. Yeah, something like that. That would definitely be nice, you know, for somebody that is going to be away from power for an extended period of time. But not every gift idea has to be something that like needs to be attached to your phone.
Yeah.
Some other good gift ideas that people came up with. Dave Chartier, I'm going to say is his last name. He came up with the Mobile Art Mastery online course.
Oh yeah.
So like if you're, you know, new to photography and you want to, you know, really dive into it and learn a lot more about light and composition and all that fun stuff that it takes to make a good photo, then that could be something that, you know, you would be interested in. Couple other things too that I thought were really great ideas were some books. There was actually a couple of books that people suggested that I checked out, and man, do they look, you know, just really nice. Jason Griffiths posted a link to a book from a photographer named Julian Calverley, and it's a book of his landscape photography.
Yeah.
And I forget now like where this is. It's over like in Scotland or England or somewhere over across the pond somewhere. In any case, I just looking at the pictures that they show over on the iPhone Photography School website. They're definitely, it's like more of a surreal editing style than I do, but man, does it just work for his pictures, and they're just so epic. And I actually put this book on my wish list too.
Nice.
I'd really like to like study this more, and it just, every single picture, it's just got this, I don't know, I can't describe it. There's just like a lot of feeling and a lot of like soul to these pictures. They really just kind of grab you and make you look at them for an extended period of time. And that's, you know, that's what I want my photography to do. You know, I don't want people to just like be swiping through Instagram and just like swipe right past my pictures. I want,
exactly,
you know, my pictures to make them go, whoa, hold on a second, and go back and really look at it. And that's what this guy's photos do for me. So, You know, there's a lot of good books out there for iPhone photography. We had that gentleman on our podcast not too long ago. What was his name? Was it Dan Marcolina?
No. Here, let me grab the book. Hold on.
Got it right over here. All right, I found it. It's right here. We had Robert Morrissey.
It was Robert Morrissey.
That's right.
iPhonography Pro. That's a really good book. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, Dan Marcolina has a book called iPhone Obsessed, Photo Editing Experiments with Apps. And that's a pretty interesting book because you kind of get to possibly find out about apps that you didn't really know about and then kind of see, you know, different ways to use them. And my all-time favorite iPhone photography book that has been published so far is a book called The Art of iPhone Photography. And that book, it's a reasonably thick book and showcases just a whole slew of photographers from all over the world, kind of picks like one or two of their images and shows like step by step how they created them. And it's excellent. It is such a cool book.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll if you guys know of a book that you have bought or liked or want on a wish list, be sure to put that in the comments too. But books. See here. There's a couple other things. There was some. I know there were some people asking about Bluetooth, wireless, remote control shutters. I have one that I will post in there that is fun to use. And then there's one. Oh, I wanted to mention about the power packs. I have two different power packs that I've been playing with that I'm still getting to know, but they're solar powered, and so I'm going to try and do an in-depth on it because my ideas at first have changed on how I thought they would work. They're power packs, but then they have a solar feature, and so what I'm going to be doing is running through putting them through their through the paces and seeing how long they last, because one of them's rated at 80,000 milliamp hours and then the other one is 300,000, and which I'm kind of skeptical on, but I'm gonna try it. One of them's waterproof, the other one's not, whether or not it charges the battery in the sun is possible, but so far it hasn't been that great. But I think it's really meant to be, you plug it in, whether the battery's dead or not, and you get the 5 amp or 5 volt power needed to power to charge up your phone just with the sun. So those are a lot of fun, and I highly recommend, but I'll have something on that soon. All right.
Cool. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of gift ideas out there. And I would say everybody should head over to our Facebook page and kind of check out that thread and see all the ideas.
Yep. All right. So, okay. I think we should move on to our post pick of the week, if I can get there. Ooh. Here we go.
Post pick of the week.
All right, it is Matt's turn. So go for it, Matt.
All righty. So last week's challenge was textures. And this time around, I chose an image from the man, the myth, the legend himself from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Dave Podner.
Whoa.
Yeah. So basically, he has a photo that he titled Dusting of Snow on Glass Table with Woven Frame. Holy textures. can you? There's like an epic amount of texture in this photo. And you have the, I'm sure everyone's seen a glass patio table before. Usually it's like that weird glass that has like all the like little kind of dimpled texture in it.
Yeah.
So you got that, and it's like a pretty close up picture too. So you could really see the texture, and you could see all the, color from the way the light kind of refracts through those dimples. And then you have this like little band of snow, like kind of right at the edge of the glass. So you could kind of see, you know, just all these little pellets and flakes of snow. And then on the other side of the snow is like a woven, like almost wicker type framing. And the other thing I really like about this too is all these lines, like the wicker and the band of snow, are diagonal across the frame. So it kind of, it's actually more of a dynamic image than you would think it should be for the subject matter.
Yeah.
I would say the only thing with it that I would maybe just try and see how it looks is convert it to black and white.
Mm.
I just have a feel, because it's already like a pretty monotone image. Like, yeah, there's a little bit of color in the table, but it's pretty like muted. And overall, the predominant colors are like brown and black and white. So I just think that this would look really awesome as a black and white image. Yeah. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Well, you know, we don't hold it against you, but, no, I like the image. I definitely, there's multi-textured, examples there. You know, the way the, like you said, wrinkly or wavy type glass, and, you know, the woven, is that wicker, or something like that. It does add an element, almost like a landscape, to the image, where it looks like you're looking from the ocean to the beach and then to the rolling hills, and then the background is like a sky. That's the thing that kind of jumps out at me. It's almost a surreal landscape. And I really like it. So congratulations, Dave. You are post pick of the week. If you want to be chosen as our post pick of the week, go on to our Facebook group and add your image to our weekly photo challenge. We have that posted at the top of the page so that people can find it, not have to dive through a whole lot of content to get there. But you will see some awesome images there, and a lot of people will have a lot of good feedback, and you will have a lot of inspiring examples of what you can do with the iPhone or smartphone of your choice. So, all right, I think it is time for us to pick our next weekly photo challenge. So, Matt, do you have any ideas? Chat room, give us some ideas also.
Well, last week we said we might do industrial.
Ooh, that's right. Yeah, let's do that.
I don't know how I remembered that, but
yeah, good job, man.
I can't remember the photos I took in the past week, but I can remember what we talked about for post pick of the week.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, industrial will be our challenge. Well, cool. All right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, not this week.
Okay. If you guys have not joined Facebook, please do so. You know, we are going pretty strong. You know, we have a very awesome community. Mark posted a note that was very it was
as sappy.
I would say fuzzy. you know, we have been around photography and photography groups for a very, very long time. And there can be great things about photography groups, and there is a lot of bad things about photography groups. I have to say, one of the best photography groups out there, because everybody is helpful. They get along. There's not any traces of like spite or rudeness. Everybody has been awesome, and we are very, very thankful for that. So you guys rock. You're awesome. We enjoy having you guys. You guys make up a large part of our podcast and our interactions. And without you guys, we would just be two guys talking to a box. And I don't think there's much we can say in the way of thank you, and keep up the good work. We're very proud to call you guys friends, and we look forward to doing this for a long time. So if you haven't read Mark's post, be sure to go on there and look for that. It's really good. All right. Matt, why don't you tell everybody? Oh, actually, let me do this first.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
I should say that if you guys don't know where that reference why we play that at the end of the show, it's mainly because Mark always had that next to the ending music and would accidentally hit it, so it became a part of the show. And it wasn't like he did it once and then we're like ha ha ha. It would be like week after week, and he'd be like, son of a gun, what? That's not what I wanted to play. So that's always a fun little fact that some of our new people may not know. But Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, you can check me out on Instagram, I am, and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can also find the show notes, links to our Facebook page, our YouTube channel. Mark's working on that, and he is finding out how pretty much how much of a challenge it is. And I don't envy him. we're really wanting to get YouTube going, because we think that we can have some image quality along with audio for our group. But you can find all that at tinyshutter.com. Well, Matt, I think we have ourselves a show.
So, it does sound that way, yes.
Why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Tower, this is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby.
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
Remember, it's better to tell the truth.
And that's no lie. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G-I-A.